The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge, the path of knowledge.
আলহামদুলিল্লাহি রাব্বিল আলামিন ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামু আলা সাইয়্যিদিল মুরসালিন আম্মা বা'দ ফাআউযু বিল্লাহি মিনাশ শাইতানির রাজীম বিসমিল্লাহির রহমানির রহিম ইন্নাল্লাহা ওয়া মালায়েকাতাহু ইউসাল্লুনা আলান নবী ইয়া আইয়ুহাল্লাযীনা আমানু সাল্লু আলাইহি ওয়া সাল্লিমু তাসলিমা আল্লাহুম্মা সাল্লি আলা সাইয়্যিদিনা মৌলানা মুহাম্মাদিন কামা তুহিব্বু ওয়া তারদা বি আন তুসাল্লি আলাইহি সাল্লাল্লাহু আলা মুহাম্মাদ নূরিন মিন নূরিল্লাহ আসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলাইকা ইয়া রাসূলুল্লাহ আসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলাইকা ইয়া হাবিবাল্লাহ আসসালাতু ওয়াসসালামু আলাইকা ইয়া নবিয়াল্লাহ ওয়া আলা আলিকা ওয়া আসহাবিকা ইয়া নূরাল্লাহ মারহাবা খুশ আমদীদ ওয়েলকাম টু ওয়ান এন্ড অল টু another beautiful episode of this lovely series, An Array of Dawn. Alhamdulillah, inshallah, today we have another exciting and beautiful topic ready for you. What is that topic? Allah, Allah, Allah. In this few days, we were discussing about the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So there are many important things which we discussed, and today we are going to discuss a topic which is going to bring a smile on everyone's face, and as well as a desire in everyone's heart, because today's topic is such a beautiful topic that everyone will wish that we wish to listen more about this beautiful topic. And what is that? I'll keep you in a bit of a suspense so you can remain glued to your seats. Before we come to our lovely topic, inshallah azawajal, let's take a short break here to listen to a beautiful kalam and a beautiful rendition by our beloved Naat Khan. And inshallah, as soon as we come back, we'll discuss this beautiful topic. So please remain tuned with us. And inshallah, azawajal, today you all will learn a lot of interesting things. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Mere dil, meri jaan ka qarar. Mere dil, meri jaan ka qarar. Peer mera murshid attar, peer mera murshid attar, peer mera murshid attar, peer mera, peer mera, peer mera, mera attar hai, syara attar hai, peer attar hai, sohna. Mera aksar hai, pyara aksar hai, peer aksar hai.
Ulfat-e-Mustafa se jo sarshar hai, peer attar hai. Maharu-mahajabi haq ka shahkar hai, peer attar hai. Chand jaisa haseen jiska rukhsar hai, peer attar hai.
Chand jaisa haseen jiska rukhsar hai, peer attar hai.
Dil ka shau dil nashi jiski guftar hai, तार है
पीर अत्तार है. दिल का शो दिल नशी जिसकी गुफ्तार है पीर अत्तार है.
मेरा महबूब और मेरा दिलदार है पीर अत्तार है.
मेरा महबूब और मेरा दिलदार है पीर अत्तार है. मेरा अत्तार है, प्यारा अत्तार है, पीर अत्तार है,
सोहना.
मेरा अत्तार,
मेरा मुर्शिद अत्तार
है, पीर अत्तार है.
मुर्शिदे मोहतरम की नजर चाहिए, उम्र भर चाहिए. चश्मे नम और सोजे जिगर चाहिए, उम्र भर चाहिए. आह में और फुगा में असर चाहिए, उम्र भर चाहिए.
आह में और फुगा में असर चाहिए, उम्र भर चाहिए.
मदहा करता रहूं ये हो چاہیے
عمر بھر چاہیے مدحا کرتا رہو یہ ہنر چاہیے عمر بھر چاہیے
فضل رب سے
سونا
فضل رب سے جو میرا مددگار ہے پیر عطار ہے
فضل رب سے جو میرا مددگار ہے پیر عطار ہے میرا عطار ہے پیارا عطار ہے پیر عطار ہے
سونا
میرا عطار
میری جان کا سہارا
پیر عطار
جس کے در سے ملا ہم کو احمد رضا ہاں کہو برملا فیض غوث جلی پا رہے ہیں صدا ہاں کہو برملا چار یاروں کی عظمت کا ڈنکا بجا ہاں کہو برملا
چار یاروں کی عظمت کا ڈنکا بجا ہاں کہو برملا
مل گئے مصطفیٰ اور ان کا خدا
ہاں کہو برملا مل گئے مصطفیٰ ان کا خدا ہاں کہو برملا
رات دن کرتا
سونا
رات دن کرتا دین کا جو پرچار ہے پیر عطار ہے
رات دن کرتا دین کا جو پرچار ہے پیر عطار ہے میرا عطار ہے پیارا عطار ہے پیر عطار ہے
سونا
میرا عطار ہے پیارا عطار ہے پیر عطار ہے
سنیت کے چمن کو ملی تازگی میرے عطار سے سارے عالم میں بٹنے لگی آگہی میرے عطار سے ہر اندھیرا مٹا ہو گئی چاندنی میرے عطار سے
ہر اندھیرا مٹا ہو گئی چاندنی میرے عطار سے
مردہ دل پا گئے ہیں یہاں زندگی
میرے عطار سے مردہ دل پا گئے ہیں یہاں زندگی میرے عطار سے
علم کا دیکھو
سونا
علم کا حلم کا ایک مینار ہے پیر عطار ہے
علم کا حلم کا ایک مینار ہے پیر عطار ہے میرا عطار ہے پیارا عطار ہے پیر عطار ہے
سونا
میرا
پیارا مرشد
عطار ہے پیر
فیض احمد رضا جا بجا چاہیے عشرت دائمی صدقہ شاہ کر بو بلا چاہیے عشرت دائمی قبر میں حشر میں ہر جگہ چاہیے عشرت دائمی
قبر میں حشر میں ہر جگہ چاہیے عشرت دائمی
گرمی حشر میں ایک ردا چاہیے
عشرت دائمی گرمی حشر میں ایک ردا چاہیے عشرت دائمی
جس کا واصل جس کا واصل ہمیشہ طلبگار ہے پیر عطار ہے
جس کا واصل ہمیشہ طلبگار ہے پیر عطار ہے میرا عطار ہے پیارا عطار ہے پیر عطار ہے
سونا
میرا عطار
میری جان کا سہارا
پیر عطار ہے
یا خدا میرے مرشد کو آباد رکھ ان کے سارے گھرانے کو بھی شاد رکھ یا خدا میرے مرشد کو آباد رکھ
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ماشاءاللہ what a beautiful rendition and praise of Sayyidi Amir Ahl Sunnat Damat Barakatuhu Al-Aliyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the saya and the shadow of Sayyidi Amir Ahl Sunnat for a long time over our heads, so we may continue plucking the fruits of benefits from his personality, Allah Allah. And when he speaks, it's as if words of wisdom are flowing out from his mouth, you know, madani flowers. And his every action, I'll say, or every sentence is full of so much wisdom that sometimes we cannot even understand. There are many a times where I have seen incidents, I have seen him speaking such things, I have seen him doing such things on Madani channel, and Alhamdulillah, I had the opportunity of making a ziyarat when Hazrat blessed us in South Africa. And Alhamdulillah, his actions were something unique, something outstanding. I would say an outstanding personality. And that is one of the reasons why, Alhamdulillah, so many people are attracted towards him. And I will say that is the reason why Dawat-e-Islami has spread so far and wide in the whole world, subhanAllah. Because his istiqamat and his sincerity is of another level. And as soon as a person becomes sincere towards something, and then he has istiqamat, he has steadfastness, then the help comes from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. SubhanAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep Dawat-e-Islami always strong, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant Dawat-e-Islami the ability to spread in each and every corner of this world. Let us all make this dua together. Allah karam aisa kare tujh pe jahan mein, اے دعوت اسلامی تیری دھوم مچی ہو. آمین آمین بجاہ النبی الامین صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Alhamdulillah, coming back to our topic, I hope many of you all are still in suspense and you all are waiting to see what is the topic today that it's going to bring a smile on your face. And yes, the topic is indeed very, very, very lovely, because today we will be discussing the paradise and the Jannat, which will be the final abode of the Muslimin. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a place which will be the final abode for the believers, for the mu'mineen, for the Muslimin. And that place is called Jannat. In English, we say paradise. Some even say heaven. And at the same time, there is a place for the sinners, for the disobedient people, for the munafiqeen and the hypocrites and disbelievers. And what is that place? That place is called Jahannam. Because we all know that once we leave this world, there will come a time that on the day of judgment, where all of us are going to be resurrected and all of us will be brought back to life. And when we are brought back to life, then we have to give accountability of whatever we have done. Now, our good deeds, our bad deeds. At the moment, there are angels on our shoulders who are writing our each and every deed. Whatever we do, whatever we say, it is being recorded. And on the day of judgment, it will be the day of accountability, where it will be told to us, you know, these are your good deeds, these are your bad deeds. And we will be made to read our book of deeds in front of the entire creation on Maidan-e-Mahshar. Allahu Akbar. And then the accountability will be done and the decision will be made that are you going to go to Jannat or are you going to go to Jahannam? Allahu Akbar. So today, inshallah, we'll be discussing Jannat, which is indeed a great bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a place where every mu'min, every believer desires to go. So we learn about the wonders of Jannah. How is Jannah? You know, we'll describe Jannah by the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we can describe Jannah only by the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Holy Quran, because none of us has ever seen Jannah. None of us has ever witnessed the bounties of Jannah. None of us has ever been to Jannah before. Yes, by listening to the various ayat of the Holy Quran and the various ahadith, we can bring a picture, we can think about Jannah, but believe me, you, even that thinking which you will have will still be very far from the real beauty and the real bounty of Jannah, subhanAllah. And as I mentioned, we can only know about Jannah from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he has seen Jannah what his own blessed eyes. Subhanallah. Yes, on the night of Mi'raj, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went in the court, the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then on that night he witnessed many things. He witnessed the heavens. He even witnessed Jannah. He saw Jahannam. He saw different punishments. He saw different bounties in Jannah. He saw many things that night. And obviously he made the ziyarat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his own physical eyes. Allahu Akbar. It was a beautiful night, a beautiful incident which happened, and something which will always be remembered, something which the more we speak about, the more it enlightens our iman and brings love in our heart for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, subhanallah. So on that night, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Jannah and he witnessed the bounties. So when he describes Jannah and he mentions to us what are the bounties of Jannah, then we can just listen and enjoy and make dua. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we enter Jannah, and not only enter Jannah, may we get a place in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. As Amir al-Sunnat very beautifully says, a beautiful share is coming to my mind where he says that Allah ki rahmat se to jannat hi milegi. With the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, we will enter Jannah. But ekash muhalle me jaga unki mili ho. He makes dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that we enter Jannah, at the same time we get a place in the neighborhood, in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. Let's all make this dua. Ya Allah, make it such that on the day of judgment, we are able to enter your Jannah. And in Jannah, we are the neighbors of your beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Jannatul Firdaus. May we enter Jannah, may our parents enter Jannah, may our relatives enter Jannah, and may we enter Jannah with our Peer and Murshid. Ameen bijahi Nabil Ameen sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So to begin, inshallah, I will discuss and mention three blessed ahadith and blessed narrations of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam regarding Jannah. Listen to it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has mentioned, Allah azza wa jal says, I have prepared such bounties for my pious bondsmen, which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human heart has ever perceived. Allah, Allah, Allah. Subhanallah. You know, this is what I was just saying now, that Jannah is such something which, you know, we can never ever imagine and comprehend. How is Jannah? Subhanallah. Another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has stated, in paradise, there are 100 levels. How many levels? 100 levels. And the distance between each level is that of the distance between the earth and the sky. Allah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Today, every person just stands on the ground and he looks towards the sky and he wonders, how far is the sky? He wonders, you know, if we have to travel there, what's going to happen? And today, scientists, today, the new world is now busy, you know, in finding methods of how to go towards the sky, how to cross the sky, how to go into space, what is the distance between the earth and the sky. After so much, people are thinking and we're still wondering that how far is the sky from the earth. Sometimes when we travel in aeroplanes, we look out and we can see the sky, but we know that the sky is still above us. So we can't exactly figure out what is the distance. My Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that in Jannah, the distance between each level is the distance between the earth and the skies. And like that, there are 100 levels. Allah, subhanallah. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and Firdaus is the highest level. Jannatul Firdaus, subhanallah. Four rivers of Jannah are flowing from there, and the Arsh is above it. So when you besiege in the blessed court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, besiege him for Firdaus. Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving you a method of how to make dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you raise your hands for dua and you say, Ya Allah, grant me Jannah, then don't just say Jannah. Say, Ya Allah, grant me Jannatul Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the highest place in Jannah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching you, ask for Jannatul Firdaus. Yes, we are sinful. Yes, we commit mistakes. But the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that if He likes our asking, if He likes our dua, then there is no doubt, if He wants, He can put us in Jannatul Firdaus. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Another blessed and beautiful hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the place in Jannah equal to the size where a whip can be placed is better than the world and whatever it contains. Subhanallah. Let us now listen to some beautiful blessings of Jannah regarding the buildings of Jannah, regarding the construction of Jannah, regarding what will happen in Jannah. Subhanallah. If something, and these are all various ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if something so little of Jannah that can be placed on a fingernail were to become apparent in this world, it would beautify all the far corners of the world, of the skies and the earth. And if the bracelet of a heaven dweller was to become apparent, it would remove the light of the sun the way sun removes the light of the stars. Allah, Allah, subhanallah. At daytime when the sun comes out, then that the stars, you can't even see the stars. Whereas the stars don't go anywhere. Yes, the stars are still there. The stars are there. But because of the brightness of the sun, we can't even see the stars. That's how bright the sun is. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that a bracelet of a heaven dweller, of a Jannati, if that were to be shown in this world and it was apparent in this world, then it would shine so much, it would cover the light of the sun as the sun covers the stars when it shines. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Various palaces made of gems are in Jannah, which are so clean and transparent that the inside can be seen from the outside and the outside can be seen from the inside. Allahu Akbar. The walls of Jannah are built with bricks made of gold and silver, and the mortar is of musk. One brick is made of gold, one brick is made of silver, the soil is saffron, and instead of pebbles, there are pearls and rubies. Subhanallah. So there we won't have bricks made out of cement, or bricks made out of concrete, or bricks made out of materials. Likewise, we won't have plaster, we won't have cement, we won't have pebbles and stones. No. There it is, the bricks made of gold, the bricks made of silver. The sand will not be dust as we have today. The sand will be saffron, which is something so expensive. And instead of pebbles, there will be rubies and pearls. Subhanallah. What? Just for a moment, whilst I am mentioning this, close your eyes and picture. Try to picture how beautiful this place will be. I mean, if you have to ever see a building in this world made out of bricks of pure gold and pure silver, and on the place of cement you see musk, on the floor you see saffron, on the place of pebbles you see rubies and diamonds, you will start losing your mind. You won't even believe your eyes that what are you seeing? A place so beautiful, a place so stunning, a place so lovely. So for a moment, just close your eyes and think how beautiful must this Jannah be of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. It is mentioned in another narration that one brick of Jannat Adan is made of white pearl. One brick is of red ruby. One brick is of green peridot. The mortar is of musk. Saffron is in place of grass. Pebbles of pearls. And its soil is ambergris. Allah, 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 subhanAllah. I'm sure many of these words, many of us are listening to it for the first time. I mean, what is mortar? What is ambergris? These are all lovely, substances which are used to build and to form buildings, subhanAllah. And they are so beautiful that they are in musk, they are saffron, they are gold, they are silver, subhanAllah. What is going to be said about the food of Jannah? We all wonder that, if the buildings are so lovely, if Jannat is so beautiful, a place of gold and silver, then what are we going to eat? What's going to be in our meals, in our course? So listen, the food will be delicious and of all varieties in Jannah. And whatever is desired will be presented immediately. Allah, how will it be presented immediately? Listen, upon seeing a bird, if one would desire to eat its meat would be immediately made available to them, duly roasted. So if somebody sees a bird flying in Jannah and he thinks to himself, I could eat this bird, immediately that bird will come roasted, cooked, everything cut, cleaned, and it will be in front of him. And then he will eat this bird. Subhanallah. After eating the bird, after eating food, if a person needs to go and relieve himself, what's going to happen? When one would desire for water, etc., goblets will appear in their hands automatically, containing the right amount of water, milk, wine, and honey. So it wouldn't be too much, it wouldn't be too less. the amount which you need, that will be present in front of you. Water, milk, honey, whatever it is. The quantity will be exactly according to their desire. Not one drop more, nor less. And after drinking the beverage, the goblets will return back where they came from. Subhanallah. How will the food be digested? How will the water be digested? This is something very beautiful to take note. All the food will be digested, producing a pleasant, fragrant burp and perspiration, which will give out a smell like that of musk. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, the more you eat in Jannah, as much as you eat, as much as you drink, there won't be a need to go to the toilet. There won't be a need to go and relieve yourself. No, no, no. What you're going to do is you're just going to burp, or you will sweat. And that burp and that perspiration is not going to smell. It is going to smell. It's going to have the scent of musk. And as soon as you burp, your food will be digested and everything will be fine. Subhanallah. The reason is because in Jannah, there is no filthiness. In Jannah, there is no dirt. In Jannah, there is nothing evil. So when we relieve ourselves, we're actually passing out dirt from our body. Our number one, our stool, all of these things are dirt. They are filthy. We don't like to stay near these things. And in Jannah, there is no such thing. That's why we will not relieve ourselves in that manner. Subhanallah. Likewise, there won't be anything evil in Jannah. So there won't be any hatred. There won't be any jealousy. There won't be any malice. There won't be any backbiting. There won't be any tale-telling. There won't be anything bad in Jannah. It's a place of enjoyment, a place as a reward, a place where everyone will be happy, everyone will love each other, everyone will just enjoy themselves. There is nothing bad, nothing evil, nothing wicked in Jannah. No matter whatever status you have, no matter whatever is your rank, still you will never ever be jealous of the next person. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Sometimes we think, you know, if the world could also be like this, where there wouldn't be any jealousy, there wouldn't be any malice, there wouldn't be any enmity, any hatred, any fighting amongst each other, how beautiful this world would be. But this world is a place of test and a place of trials and tribulations, a place where all of us has to have sabr and shukr, and that can only be done, you know, once we witness these kind of things. When somebody hates us, when somebody is jealous, when somebody has malice in his heart. Yes, these things are common amongst human beings, but the beauty part is when all of these things happen, how much patience do we have? How much sabr do we have? How much control do we have? Subhanallah. Yes, in Jannah, there will be many servants as well. All of us will have servants, inshallah. And what will be and how will those servants be? Let's listen. Each dweller of Jannah will have a minimum of 10,000 servants at his bedside. And each servant will be holding a silver bowl in one hand and a gold bowl in the other hand. And each bowl will contain different blessings. The more one eats, its taste will not decrease. In fact, it will increase. Each morsel would have 70 different tastes. And every taste will be more distinctive than the other one. Allah, Allah, Allah. He will feel all these tastes together. And the sense of one taste will not stop that of the other. Subhanallah. These are such things, you know, which we can never ever understand. One morsel having 70 different tastes, and each taste will be better than the other one, and we'll taste all of them together without losing any taste. You know, it's something which we cannot understand, but this is the qudrat and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, He can do whatever He wants, and you know, there's nothing impossible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The clothing of the dwellers of Jannah would not get worn out, nor would their youth come to an end. Allah, Allah. So there won't be a time where, you know, your clothes will now get worn out and you need to, throw these clothes away or give it to someone. No, neither will you get old. Everyone will be young in Jannah. So there is no old age, there is no death in Jannah. There is no clothes getting worn out. There is nothing of this sort. It is just a place of enjoyment, a place of enjoying the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no sleep in Jannah as well. Yes, there is no sleep in Jannah. Why? Because sleep is a form of death. And as we discussed, there is no death in Jannah. So death and even its forms will not be existing in Jannah. So there is no sleep, there is no death, there is nothing of this sort. It is just a place to enjoy the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. There is something very beautiful which is going to take place in Jannah. There are many other countless bounties of Jannah which due to time we cannot mention everything. But there is one specific incident, something beautiful which is going to take place in Jannah, and that I feel I need to discuss that and I need to mention it to one and all. Subhanallah. And what is that? Listen, when the dwellers of Jannah enter Jannah, they will attain their ranks according to the virtue of their good deeds. And there is no limit of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine mercy. They will be granted the permission to behold their Rabb after the length of a week of this world. The divine throne will appear and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal a divine manifestation in one of the gardens of Jannah. Subhanallah. Means the Jannatis will have the opportunity of making didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Then towering pulpits of noor, pearls, ruby, gold and silver will be laid down for the dwellers of Jannah. And the most inferior of them will sit upon a mound of musk and camphor, and no one among them is inferior. Allah. So the one who is the most inferior, he will be even given high protocol and lots of respect. And he won't even feel that he is inferior, because there is no ill, bad assumptions or bad thinkings or jealousy or anything in Jannah. So he won't even know, or he won't even feel, you know, that he is inferior, he has a higher rank, he has a higher status. No, there will be nothing of that sort. Subhanallah. Within their own presumption, they will not consider those sitting on the chairs to be superior than them. The blessed sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be as clear and apparent as the sun and the moon on a night when it is full. Is viewed by everybody from wherever they stand, as nobody blocks others' view while seeing. If you ever have to look at the moon on the 14th night, or on any night, if you look at the moon, you will never ever tell a person, can you please move, I need to see the moon? No. Because even if there are a million people with you, everyone looks at the moon in a different way, and everyone can see the moon perfectly and clearly. That's how, you know, the moon, you know, stands out from everything. Everyone can view it beautifully. It is mentioned that is how you will make didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that everyone will get the opportunity of making didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without anyone blocking anyone's view. Subhanallah. Allah azza wa jal will descend his blessed manifestation upon everyone and will say to one amongst them, O so and so, son of so and so, do you remember the day when you did such and such thing? He azza wa jal will remind him of some of his sins in this world. So he will humbly say, O Allah, O Rabb, O my Lord, have you not forgiven me? Allah Azza wa Jal will reply, indeed, it is by the vastness of my forgiveness that you reached this status of yours. So while they are in this very state, they will be covered by a cloud that will shower fragrance upon them, such a fragrance whose smell they had never smelt before. And Allah Azza wa Jal will say, go towards the honor that I have prepared for you, and take whatever you desire. Subhanallah. Then people will go to a market which is surrounded by the angels. There will be such things there which no eye has ever seen the like of, nor any ear has heard of, and nor have these things ever been perceived by anyone's heart. Whatever they like will be granted to them, and there will be no buying and selling in this market. Subhanallah. So you're not going to have cash and currency with you. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go, everyone's going to go to this market, and whatever we want, we will just take, it will be granted to us. And such things will be there which we have never seen before, we have never ever thought about before, we have never heard about before. Subhanallah. The dwellers of Jannah will meet each other in this market. The Jannah dweller with a lower rank will see and would like the garment of the Jannah dweller with a higher rank. Their conversation will not come to an end, and the lower ranked Jannah dweller will presume that his clothing is better than the higher ranked Jannah dweller. Subhanallah. And that is because there is no grief and sorrow for anybody in Jannah. So while discussion is taking place, the discussion will not even complete, and the one who has a lower rank, he will say, no, my clothes, is better, my clothes is nice, subhanAllah. And this better will not be out of takabbur, out of pride. It will be out of happiness that alhamdulillah, my clothes is better. Means you will not have the feeling that he is better than me or why is he better than me. No, because there is no grief and there is no sorrow in Jannah. They will then return to their houses from there and their wives will welcome them saying, while congratulating, you have returned and your beauty is a lot greater than when you left us. They will reply, today we had the privilege of sitting in the blessed court of our Lord Azza wa Jal, and this is the reason that we have become so. Subhanallah, subhanallah. What a beautiful scenario this must be. I mean, we are going to have the opportunity of making didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What more does a person want? I mean, that will be the greatest bounty which can be bestowed upon a person. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such, you know, that all of us are in Jannah. And we make the didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So we will listen to a few more bounties and blessings and narrations of this Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before that, let us take a short break and listen to some few Madani flowers. And inshallah, as soon as we come back, we will discuss more about this lovely and beautiful topic. Salli ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
It's very, very important, imperative, to teach our children basic knowledge of Islam and the religion. And this will stand them in good stead throughout their life. Now, if you look at priorities today, unfortunately, people, they spend a lot of time ensuring that their child becomes a professional, a doctor maybe, or a different profession. And they exert a lot of energy, they pay for tuition fees, they take that child wherever he needs to go to ensure that he's in pole position to get a job in his field. That person has mastered a science like maths, for example. Complex issues are discussed in science or in medicine or to become a doctor. We know it's not easy. He's mastered all of this. But that very same person who is respectfully called doctor, Dr. Sahib, lawyer, solicitor, when it comes to performing wudu, he doesn't know the basics. Now ask yourself this question. On the Day of Judgment, his credentials as a doctor or a barrister or a lawyer or a solicitor won't come to help him. But if he did not learn the basic knowledge of Islam, if he did not learn how to perform wudu, which is the key to salah, and he did not know about the requirements of salah, the obligations of salah, the wajibat in salah, etc., he'll be in trouble. Now, the wise person is he who lives in the world, he learns the basics of the religion, and more if possible, and he is free to also pursue other things which are jais in Sharia, become professional, become a doctor, for example. But we should not give priority to worldly knowledge and qualifications at the expense of deeni knowledge. Otherwise, this will come back to haunt us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow all of us to invest time in learning sacred knowledge and the basic knowledge of Islam at least.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, we were discussing this Jannat and the bounties of Jannah, the wonders of Jannah, the blessings of Jannah. And it is such a topic that, you know, we can keep on listening and listening and listening. And for those who recite the Holy Quran with translation, the Kanzul Iman translation done by Sayyidi wa Murshidi A'la Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, you will understand when the Quran speaks about Jannah, how beautiful words the Quran uses, you know, وَحُورٌ عِينٌ كَأَمْثَالِ اللُّؤْلُؤِ الْمَكْنُونَ. These words just, you know, bring that thought to your mind that how beautiful must this Jannah be, subhanAllah. But keep in mind, as human beings, we all listen to the bounties of Jannah. We all think about the bounties of Jannah. We all ponder about the luxuries of Jannah. And we all desire to enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still, our hearts, our minds, and everything is stuck to that world and to that thing which is going to finish, something which is going to come to an end. In other words, we have a desire of Jannah in which there is no end. It will be everlasting. But we are stuck with this world which has an end and this world which has so much fitna and so much difficulties. If you'll want to go in that Jannah, why are you holding so firmly on this world? When you'll know that this world is going to finish, you'll know this world is going to come to an end, you'll know this world is not forever. You'll adjust here in this world to attain that Jannah, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is your purpose. So if you are not fulfilling your purpose, you are going against the purpose. How are you dreaming of entering the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How are you dreaming of enjoying those bounties when you can't even fulfill your purpose in this world? Allahu Akbar. Yes, Jannah is beautiful, Jannah is lovely. But who is going to get Jannah? Which are those people who are going to enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Let us listen to an ayat of the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. Allah ta'ala says, and whoever does virtuous deeds, whether man or woman, and is a Muslim, will be admitted to paradise, and they will not be wronged a bit. The condition of entering Jannah is doing good deeds. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. You have to do good deeds. You have to practice upon worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to do the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then only you are going to enter Jannah. So the first condition is doing good deeds. The first condition is trying to reform yourself. The first condition is, you know, striving to earn this Jannah. We can't expect to commit sins. We can't expect to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't expect to do every wrong thing and then dream of Jannah and then have the desire of Jannah. No, it's not possible. As you sow, so shall you reap. That's what we say in English. Whatever you are going to put now, that's what is going to grow tomorrow. If you are going to plant a seed of an apple tree, or if you are going to plant a banana tree, then banana tree is going to grow and bananas are going to come. An apple tree is going to grow and apples are going to come. You can't expect to plant an apple tree and expect an avocado to grow. No, it doesn't work like that. As you sow, so shall you reap. So if you are desiring, if you want to enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then live your life. Do those actions which are going to take you towards Jannah. A person doesn't perform salah, no, I'm going to enter Jannah. A person doesn't keep fast, no, I'm going to enter Jannah. A person doesn't give zakat, doesn't perform hajj, doesn't do anything, and then he desires, I'm going to enter Jannah, then that person is a fool. He is deceiving himself. He is thinking that what he is doing is right, whereas it is totally and absolutely wrong. This is not the concept. This is not the thinking. This is not what Islam has told you to do. Islam has mentioned the beauties of Jannah, the wonders of Jannah. At the same time, Islam said you must strive to attain and to enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how you will attain Jannah is by killing your nafs, by destroying your nafs, by finishing your carnal desires, by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is how you are going to enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, by listening to these bounties of Jannah, yes, everyone loves it, everyone likes it, everyone enjoys it. But make an intention that from today, from now, our actions, our work, our intentions are going to be such actions which are going to lead us towards Jannah. Our work is going to be such work which is going to take us towards Jannah. We are going to go do those things which will take us to Jannah and the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, at the moment we have some calls and some people have joined us and they have called us and I'm sure they have some questions or they have something to say. So inshallah, we'll just take a few calls and inshallah, Azza wa Jal, we'll discuss more on this beautiful topic. Let us listen to a call from one of our viewers.
My name is Noshan Abtali from Sufi Nagar, Durban in South Africa. I must say this is a lovely program, a lovely silsila with an exceptionally beautiful topic, blessings of Jannah. I would like to ask that what would be the greatest bounty in Jannah?
Subhanallah, what will be the greatest bounty in Jannah? No doubt, without doubt, it is going to be making the didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, there is no bounty greater than that. What better bounty is there? And definitely this is the greatest bounty, because making the didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not something ordinary. It's something extraordinary, something unique, something very, very, very special. Subhanallah. And we all know that the only personality who has made didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his physical eyes is only the Zat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. And you know how he made didar, what was the situation, that the beloved knows, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. As Ala Hazrat says, kisko dekha ye Musa se puche koi, aankh walon ki himmat pe lakho salam. So definitely the greatest bounty in Jannah will be making the didar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. The next call, please.
Imran from Durban, South Africa. MashaAllah, a very beautiful program. I wanted to ask a question, and that is, will all Muslims go to Jannah? Jazakallah.
A person who leaves this world in the state of Iman, eventually he will enter Jannah. Because Jahannam is only for kuffar, only for disbelievers. And Jannah is only for believers, for the mu'mineen, for the muslimin. So if a person left this world in the state of Iman, then eventually he will go Jannah. On the day of judgment, if the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides that he will enter Jannah without accountability, then he will go in Jannah. But if he is sent to Jahannam to pay for his sins, to suffer the punishment of his sins, then he will go to Jahannam. And once he completes the period for his sins, the punishment for his sins, then eventually he will go to Jannah. Okay, so either in the beginning or later on sometime, but every Muslim will eventually end up in Jannah, because Jahannam is only for the kuffar eternally, and Jannah is only for the believers. So there will come a time where in Jannah only the believers will be there, and in Jahannam only the kuffar will be. At that time a ram will be brought, and it will be announced that this ram is death, and that ram will be slaughtered, and then announcement will be made that now there is no death, because death has been killed. So all those who are in Jannah will live forever, and all those in Jahannam will live forever. Allahu Akbar. At that moment in Jahannam there will only be disbelievers, and in Jannah only believers. And the people of Jannah will be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this bounty, and they will rejoice on this happiness. And the people of Jahannam will be crying, and they will be worried, and they will have nothing to say, because now they will be in this total despair and this worry that forever they are going to remain in the punishment and in the Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from the punishment of Jahannam, the fire of Jahannam, and may we enter the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen, summa ameen. A very beautiful ayat of the Holy Quran, which I feel is necessary to be discussed with regards to Jannah and the topic of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, Surah Ali Imran, ayat number 133. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And I will read the translation and the commentary, the tafsir, but I want every person to listen to this with the ears of his heart and make an intention to act upon this as well. Translation: and rush towards forgiveness from your Lord, and towards a paradise that can hold all the heavens and the earth in its width, prepared for the pious. The Jannah is prepared for muttaqeen, for the pious people. Commenting on this blessed ayah, Allama Mufti Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Muradabadi alayhi rahmatullahi al-qawi has stated, the word rush, the ayat said, na wasari'u, and rush towards the forgiveness of your Lord. The word rush here refers to repentance, fulfilling obligations, and adopting the deeds of obedience and sincerity. That is, along with seeking repentance of your sins in the court of Allah Almighty, though through performing obligatory actions such as salah, observing fast, zakat, hajj, etc., and carrying out other sharia commandments sincerely, rush towards the forgiveness of Allah and Jannah, as these paths lead to Jannah. Subhanallah. So the Quran mentioned that rush towards the forgiveness. And what is the meaning of rush? Is you must do good actions. You must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You must perform your salah. You must fulfill all your first duties and then go towards the Jannah. Subhanallah. And then Allah ta'ala says that this Jannah has been prepared for the muttaqeen, the pious people, those who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So today, the lesson I want to leave one and all with is, yes, we enjoy the bounties of Jannah, we heard about it, we learned about it, everyone wants to go in Jannah. Then why don't we start from today? Let's make an intention that whatever evil habits we had, whatever bad habits we had, whatever wrong actions we were doing, today we are going to change ourselves and now mold ourselves to the right path, to the straight path, and those actions which will take us towards Jannah. Make an intention now and try and change yourself. If you'll want to enter Jannah, you'll have to strive towards that Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to reform ourselves. And this is when I remember this Madani mindset which Amir Sunnat has given us, that I must strive to reform myself and the people of the entire world. So first start with yourself. In English we say charity begins at home. So you first start with yourself, start changing your manners, your habits, your ways, your etiquettes, everything. Automatically the environment around you will become beautiful, will become unique. With these few words, we now come to the end of this beautiful episode. And Alhamdulillah, we learned some beautiful things today, as well as we made some good intentions. Remain happy, be positive, think positive, and stay positive. And remember, instill the love of Allah and His beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam in your heart, in the hearts of your beloveds, because this love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the base of your iman. Subhanallah. We hope to meet soon, inshallah. Till then, all of y'all, always remain happy. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam.
The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge is the way to Jannah. The path of knowledge, the path of knowledge.